This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All right, oh, dark 14 right now, 7:14 as we adjust to daylight saving time. Beautiful day today. Plenty of sunshine, highs near 70, and that's not until, you know, it starts to turn dark around 7 o'clock or so. Then highs of 72 tomorrow, 75 on Wednesday, 81 Thursday, 80 Friday, all dry, no rain. But then Saturday, maybe some severe weather. We'll have to watch that. Sunday for the parades, nice. You got Argus rolling in Metairie with the St. Patrick's Day Parade down Metairie Road. Plenty of sunshine. Highs of 79, so wear the sunscreen for that. Kirk Talbot joins us now, Louisiana State Senator. How you doing, Kirk?
Great. Good morning.
Kirk, you are a businessman, are you not?
I am, yes.
Let's talk for a moment, if you will, and I know this is not why you came on, but, you know, there's this big thing about DOGE and where the real money is and all federal employees is, all employees. And there is because you employ people and you're in the private sector, but that's not to say all government employees are bad, right? I mean, tell me how you look at that from a business standpoint or from a businessman standpoint.
Certainly not. I mean, we have some great government workers. I think the part of this that I find interesting is that, you know, you cut 10% or 15% of a workforce from a department and, you know, they're screaming bloody murder. And in the private sector, you know, we ebb and flow. I mean, mm-hmm. during Katrina, during different times in our careers as a businessman, we might have to cut our workforce 20-30% just to keep the lights on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you find a way to adjust. You find a way to, you cut the fat and you get down to the bone and you survive and you make it through the year. And then, you know, you staff up when things are good. But in the public sector, it's just different because, you know, you're not trying to make money. You're not trying to make a profit. It's just a whole different beast. And I think this government is bloated and needs a little dose of reality and needs a little dose of the private sector, so to speak, to kind of bring it back to earth.
Along those lines, and I'm just talking about the business model here, can you run a government like you can a business and have layoffs here and then bring people back? Or when it comes to, I guess, incentives and changing and all those kind of things, can you make a comparison or not? I'm not arguing with you. I'm just trying to understand the whole business standpoint.
I don't think you can just simply say that you can run government like a business. It's not that simple. But I do think that there's waste and fraud and abuse. Clearly there is in some of the things that we've seen, and the belt needs to be tightened a little bit. And, you know, I just hope that, you know, we don't cut something that we're going to end up regretting.
Yeah.
But it seems like some of the stories and some of the news articles I've read that there's some serious waste and abuse and fraud going on, and that needs to be rooted out, and they seem to be doing that.
My concern is that you don't poison the entire yard. You pull out the weeds and you keep the grass.
Sure.
That's my concern.
Yeah, I'm I agree with you. Yes.
Hey, and let me move on to Medicaid, since we're talking about all of that, because we were just talking about Medicaid as a percentage of the federal budget, and if 10% of the federal budget, and if that were to be cut for Louisiana. I'm trying to determine, looking at the big picture here, Kirk, when it comes to Medicaid and people that don't have insurance, and here's the deal. Are there people on Medicaid right now that don't deserve it? Are people overcharging for Medicaid that provide services, and that's where the real theft is? What do you do with people that don't have insurance or can't take care of themselves? Because if they wind up in the emergency room, you and I are going to wind up paying for that economically in the long run, right? Do you go all Dickens and let them die and let them decrease the surplus population, as terrible as that sounds? Take me through this, because I don't know how to solve a problem like that.
No, I mean, I think what President Trump has said is, if you deserve to have Medicaid and be on Medicaid, you're going to get it and you're going to keep it. But there are people that shouldn't be on it that are getting it, and they are hospitals or doctors, whatever you want to call it, that are charging more than they shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. And those are the things that they need to root out, and those are the things that they're looking into. You know, if you deserve it and you qualify for it, you're going to get it. But if you don't, then you shouldn't. And people that are, you know, we see these stories all the time where, you know, a medical clinic or a doctor, whatever, you know, gets popped for overcharging Medicaid. And I think that happens a lot more than we know, and is abused a lot more than we know. And that's the things that they're looking into, and they should look into that.
So when it comes to whose responsibility is it to determine what's waste and where the money's being stolen, what have you, and who's getting it that shouldn't, is that up to the state or is that up to the federal government?
I think both. I mean, it's clearly, you know, the state, we receive that money and it all filters through us. So we have skin in the game for sure. But, you know, the federal government has, you know, unlimited, it seems, the resources to really root that out. I mean, the buck stops with, or really starts with the federal government. It ends on our end. So I think it needs to be a collaboration between the federal government and the state government to make sure that people who deserve it and who need it should be on it, and people who aren't shouldn't be.
And
it shouldn't be overcharged.
And the reason I ask is, if the expansion that John Bel Edwards approved goes away, then how does the state deal with that? What would be the process, or is that something you guys are going to look at in the session coming up or not?
I don't think that will go away. But if I recall, when the states were starting to expand Medicaid, you had states like Arkansas that were really, really tight on, you know, who's going to get this and you know, scrutinize that. And you know, we pushed John Bel to do that, and it seemed, or that administration to do that, and it seems like we didn't get anywhere. Mm-hmm. If I recall, I think that's the tact we need to take, is let's make sure the people that qualify for it are getting in, the people that don't aren't. And that, you know, it's not being abused and being overcharged. So I think that's the tag. I haven't heard Governor Landry say anything about stopping that. Mm-hmm. I think they just need to scrutinize it more and make sure it's being done efficiently.
I was just wondering about the regulation, because if you're concerned with federal spending, then it would be responsible, I think, to clean your own house up, right, when it comes to Medicaid and see who should and who shouldn't. But at this time, you're saying there are no plans to do that?
That's just what I haven't seen that. So don't take that.
No, I understand. And look, we didn't invite you on to talk about that, but we were talking about it, so I thought I'd pick your brain on it, because you are a businessman, and I thought you'd have some interesting insights. Let's take a break, talk about insurance when we come back with Kirk Talbot, Louisiana State Senator. 722, Traffic Now, WWL. 726, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Senator Kirk Talbot. Let's talk about the session, Kirk, and insurance and What is on the schedule? What can be done?
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And to help, insurance is a primary concern. Property, auto, both?
Well, certainly the last couple of years, we've taken a big swipe at property insurance. I mean, we've done a lot of legislation, addressed a lot of issues, things like, you know, multiple adjusters, making insurance companies more solvent, requiring them to have more money in their, you know, in their reserves so they can pay claims. We've revamped the entire claims process. We've revamped the appraisal process. We've started the Fortified Roof Program. You're going to see legislation this year. We're going to find a way, and Commissioner Temple has been working with us on this, to permanently fund the Fortified Roof Program. And I highly recommend your listeners to, you know, apply for that lottery system, because that is the way, that is the long-term solution for us living in South Louisiana, is to get a fortified roof and to get that on your house as soon as possible. So you're going to see, you know, we're always going to have legislation on property insurance just because it's always a moving target. So, you know, you'll see some more on that, but auto insurance is where we really have a lot of work to do. After the session, the Speaker of the House and the President of the Senate approached us, some of the chairmen that deal with insurance, to take another stab at auto insurance and kind of like start over and start having meetings, which we've had since session ended last year, in really kind of an unprecedented way. We've had five different committees that all touch auto insurance in some form or fashion, have had these meetings, and, you know, we've looked at everything, Tommy, and I know we don't have I could talk to this for an hour, but I'll just
say,
come
back
real quick. I'll come back anytime.
All right.
But you know, what we've really found is there's no reason why we should have the highest insurance in the country. I get it on property insurance. We have a coastal state. The majority of our population is below I-10. We're, you know, unfortunately, the number one destination for named storms that hit land. But with auto insurance, we shouldn't be. There's nothing that causes us to be an outlier, you know, that we can't control. It's our legal system, and it's something that we can fix, just like we did with workers' comp in the 1980s. We had a horrible workers' comp environment where basically you know, workers' comp was unaffordable, and we fixed it. And we need to do the same thing with auto insurance. And, you know, there's a lot of talks going on, a lot of ideas floating out there. And, you know, it is a huge, important issue. And I think if we don't fix this auto insurance thing, it's going to hold our state back. We're never going to reach the goals that every governor that runs that I've seen, you know, wants to do, create jobs, create a strong middle class. You can't do that unless we fix this auto insurance problem.
You're being jammed up two ways. You got the homeowner's insurance, which, as you said, is a function of nature. But then you got the auto insurance, which maybe you could save some people some money. Kirk, you have to come back. We'll spend an hour. We'll take
anytime.
Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, line them up, talk about why it's lower there, higher here, lower there, and what can be done to get us more in line with them. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Kirk Talbott, Louisiana State Senator, coming back, taking a look at the week ahead on Wall Street. It's Monday Morning Markets with Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. First, though, it's time for WWL First News. 7:45, quarter till 8. Time for Monday Morning Markets with Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union, is WWL. I'm Tommy Tucker, and Mark Rosa, let's take a look down Wall Street and see what's going to happen this week.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm all right. It's good. I'm enjoying that little bit of daylight saving time. I like it.
What are you going to do this afternoon with that extra hour?
Well, it at least it's light outside. You know, when it gets dark so early, you just feel like it's time to go to bed. You and I are early risers,
right.
So you know, you just start kind of going in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's light outside, yesterday I was going in that direction, looked out, and it's light. Well, maybe I should be doing other things. So great's a little ambition.
There you go.
Anyway,
let's talk about Wall Street and ambition. And if you want to make some money, what do you do?
Well, last week, Tom, we promised to segue it over into this week. We have something that's happened, a couple of three things, actually. So mortgage rates fell for 6 weeks in a row. We were reporting that last week, and then it fell yet another week. So people are looking at that very, very focused. And the refinances have surged 83% year over year, where people stuck in higher mortgages as a way to get out. And with these rates falling, it apparently is shaking the tree, so to speak, and getting people out there and wanting to save some money. And we wanted to report this naturally, and because of the good that it could do some people to take advantage of lower rates. But it's all, where's it coming from? It's coming from the talks of the tariffs. This morning's news, I was just listening before that Trump came on and said, well, we can't say that a recession won't be the result of some of the work that they're doing. If it was, if that would come on into the economy, I would think it would be very short-lived. I think all this talk about tariff, my opinion only, is to shake up some of the other governments that enjoy large trade surpluses from us, and he's trying to even that playing field. Well, in the meantime, they're not going to be happy, and Canada comes out saying, no, we're not going to be bullied and everything. Yeah, they're going to be bullied. You're going to go toe-to-toe with the largest economy on earth, and we can stare them down on that, not to be kind of aggressive against our neighbors. But if they're enjoying these huge trade surpluses, there is some money that we could save on that. That's where the tariffs come in, and that's the tip of the spear in what the administration's trying to do. But in the meantime, Wall Street's saying, on one hand, two things that came out over the weekend. Economists think that a recession is going to be the result of the tariffs. And I would add to that my few words, only if it sticks around for a while. And this morning's news says chaos creates opportunities. Wall Street sees a dip as a buying chance. So they're thinking that this is going to be temporary. Whatever comes in, the Dow has taken a couple of hits, down about 1,400 over the past couple of weeks. It's right now about 42,400, and expect to open another between 300 and 400 down this morning. So Wall Street's saying buy it if it's coming down. And with the rates coming down, that goes hand in hand with the markets saying it's a little bit jittery, add some uncertainty for a lot of the lenders to make a loan to somebody where somebody's like, well, I don't know if the economy's going into a weak spat here. I'm going to hold on. You know, not going to do anything. But refinancing your mortgage to get a lower rate, that would have, in my judgment, nobody has to worry about where the Dow is going to be if you're going to save money on the mortgage. So as far as what the 30-year rates are doing, they hit a low point in several months. And the Fed now is talking about, over the weekend, they said, well, we won't let things get out of hand. We're going to look at some rate cuts. Now, those are back on the table, where for a couple of months they had pulled back on their optimistic, you know, three or four cuts this year. It was basically pulled back, and Wall Street was assuming they weren't going to cut at all. Well, now three cuts are back on the table, apparently, through conversations over the weekend. Not so much between now. The Fed meets in 9 days, and we can't expect anything to happen, so says Wall Street, until maybe the June, maybe the summer meeting. And then some of the Fed governors are forecasting potentially three cuts in a row. So I think all of this has come together. And last Friday, Tom, we had another weak job report. It was at least two in a row. February, they were expecting 170,000 jobs, and it came in at 151. For January, it was only 125. And I know I've said this many times over our conversation that, you know, 300,000 a month is fantastic. That dribbled down all last year until it started with a two, and now it starts with a one. Those are weak reports, and the unemployment rate ticked up 1/10 as a result. So we have several of the tea leaves pointing to, well, maybe, you know, consumer confidence is down. Are people going to stop spending money? We saw that in a retail report just last month. So there's a lot of evidence that the economy may be slowing, and I think a lot of it's just due to uncertainty. And what do people start to do when that's happening? They kind of, you know, recoil, they pull themselves back, and maybe the trip to Pensacola that we were going to do in May, maybe we shouldn't do that. Maybe we should wait it out. And that would be that's the ingredients that you could have reduced economic activity. And many people call that a recession.
So where would the uncertainty be coming from?
Well, I think that if a couple of things, if the all of what they're doing on a national level, the people that are being laid off or taking early buyouts, That's not in the unemployment rate yet, and that's not in the numbers that we're digesting. So pretending that's not happening when we know it has. So you got low job reports, and consumer confidence is just the conversation of the tariffs is suggested that, oh, that's going to spur more inflation. Well, they would if they stuck around a while. And so that's where the uncertainty is. Well, okay, then maybe it'll be short-lived, but what else could we say? Well, maybe they're not going to be short-lived. Maybe it's going to stick around far longer than anybody wants them to stick around. Maybe more jobs will be lost. Maybe more businesses will close. And that's where consumer spending starts to drop, and that's the beginnings of a recession there.
And again, we're back to what's good is bad, what's bad is good.
Yes.
You don't want a recession, but you
Correct.
Don't want inflation either, so where's the sweet spot?
Tom, it's interesting. I wonder how many people would be genuinely interested in – I don't think a lot of people attach themselves to the budget deficit. And the $36 trillion, I mean, it's just a number, and everybody wakes up every day. It's like, well, okay, woke up again, and I made my coffee the same as always. Where is this going to start to hurt me? And I'm not seeing it. I'm not feeling it. Or they feel that way. And it's like, well, it's just a number, and I don't have to care about it. Well, I think we all need to care about it, because by the time something would happen, by the time the bond market would really start backing up and say, you know what, we're not loaning the government any more money. I don't know if that's technically possible. Everybody's saying, well, how big is too big? And you have Japan at, you know, there's one of the worst in the world. You have their debt to GDP ratio is like 250%. And we just crossed 100 not long ago. And you got a lot of people say, oh, well, this is not going to be as harmful as a lot of people think. Well, you had a guest on, I think it was this morning, saying that the number one bill that the government, the largest single bill the government is paying right now is the interest on the debt.
That's right.
So how much further do we want that to go until it starts crowding out other spending? And I just think this is an unusual time in history where we have the administration saying, you know what, we're going to do something about it. And we're going to reach going towards a balanced budget. But it's not going to be without a little bit of sacrifice. So I think his tariff, all these things that they're doing collectively, or to try to get us back in a better shape financially, and I hope they succeed, actually. But it might, on the short run, somebody's not going to be happy, or we're going to say, well, we've got CPI and PPI coming out this week. So it's, you know, we're always bathed in these inflation numbers, but the Fed seems to think that this is going to come down. That's where they're talking about three rate cuts. So, you know, may all their guesses be right. And hopefully we're not going through, or businesses are not going through too much pain in the process.
All right, or those who can't afford it. Thank you, Mark. 7:54,
yes.
6 till 8. We'll be back with Mark on Friday, when we help you manage your money with Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. That's always the conundrum of cutting spending and bringing the debt under control. It will require sacrifice. Who can sacrifice? Who's willing to sacrifice? We'll see how it plays out politically. 7:54 now, traffic, WWL.